This is a Collider.com audio interview.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. And soon to be joined by Razza.
So you said last night before the screening that, you know, this was what you wanted to do to sort of work through your mourning and your grief. After your tragedy and stuff. So do you find that this movie has a message for people? Is it...
It took three years. When I would say I had two other ones I was trying to get going, like as an independent filmmaker, you're constantly trying to stir a pot and say, you know, okay, can I get an actor or can I get the financing? I was always hoping secretly that this was the one because it had the range of emotions. It had humor and heart, and I think I had the deepest personal connection to it, but it wasn't in terms of putting out a message, a religious, political message. I said, I want to make this movie because it's about my desire to feel safe and to feel love, and not in a romantic love way, but in a larger spiritual way. That was the reason I wanted to make it, and that was kind of like every day when I woke up, drove to work, that was kind of my guide, and mostly an unconscious guide in terms of what I gave to people.
Okay. Now, Adriana, I don't think there's anything left you haven't done. You've done film, commercials, TV, direct, drama teacher.
Yeah.
How is it being an actor, working with a director like Mark?
Well, this is my first movie here in the United States. This is my first movie in English. And this is my first movie when I discover my current director. And I don't find a difference in the main reason because you are filming or you are acting. The main reason for me in Mark, in Alejandro González Iñárritu, in my country, in this country, in Colombia, or whatever I think, is the passion and the reason because you are filming this story. And I discover in a director like Mark that the feelings and the sight doesn't have language, different language, really. Maybe I sound like no, but it's true. At my age, with
what
my experience,
What is your age?
My age, 52 okay. years. In my story, I have really the. I am completely convinced.
I'm completely convinced.
That the sight, the feelings. Is not about nationalities or something like that.
I was curious if you could talk a little bit about the Sundance experience with this film. And I believe you had two films there, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken. So I just wanted to know if you could talk about, you know, were you there?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Could you talk about just being there and what the experience was like and the fact that the film sold while at Sundance?
While it was screening at Sundance.
Yeah.
It was exciting. I mean, I think you always you're a little fraught with nervousness before your film is seen, and there was definitely an accelerated rush to get it ready to show at Sundance. I was sitting next to my brother and my best friend from high school who came out and sat next to me because this is 48 and a 47-year-old guy. And I felt them within the movie more than me. I just felt the audience. I was like, how is this, how are people responding to it? And are they laughing? Are they kind of with the ride? Because you have it in your head and you've watched it, but you've never seen it with a big audience. So the fact that it kind of played well there and sold was all gravy. I mean, I just was happy for Lakeshore that it serviced their... Hey, they had faith in me, so for it to work for them in terms of their business plan, you know, you always want the people that are kind to you to get what they want out of it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So it was a good experience, but I felt that I'd overplayed some stuff, so afterwards when we did a focus group It's like, again, I want to put everything into it for Sundance. So a couple weeks, like a month later, we stepped away from it, showed it to a couple audiences out here, and I was able to take a little detached view from it and see where I'd been overplaying some stuff and where we needed a scene with her to be put back in because she kind of had disappeared from the movie. And a couple places where I felt like I was over-rendering some stuff, so it was a good chance to kind of tweak it a little bit for the version that you guys saw.
How much was different after the test screening process?
I don't know. I put a scene back in, tightened two scenes, and remixed a bunch of stuff, and took a lot of music out, or took instruments in certain score pieces out, because when there's three kind of orchestral pieces, they were kind of canceling themselves out. So it was literally as simple as, like, okay, I'm going to take the piano out of this cue, or raise the cello in this cue, or, you know, just kind of remixing it and rebalancing the ending a little bit in terms of, okay, how many, you know, when you're watching a movie, it's like, oh, and it's over. Oh, it's over. And it, at Sundance, it was kind of like, it didn't know when it was
ending.
And that, to me, was the biggest difference, was we kind of said, instead of six beats, collapse and merge them together to make three movements. So from the house, and from the house falling to the end, to make that one denouement, rather than like, oh, here's another montage, and here's a montage where it's about romance. No, it's not about romance. It's about him becoming present and looking at the camera. That's the ending of the movie. Not
Henry Poole is here.
Henry Poole is here, looking at the audience, not a shot of him hugging Radha,
carrying her off into his house.
Exactly.
I heard you did that.
Yeah, that's not the romance. Is not the end. It's his story.
Adriana, I guess he wanted to ask about Sundance before I ask you my question.
Well, it was my first time in Sundance Festival, and when I saw the movie for the first time, I agree with Mark, because maybe like an actress or like an actor, you never know how you will see in the movie. This is my experience. You read a script, you work, but like an actor, you never know how is the final result. And when I saw the movie, I think maybe the mainly thing, who is Henry Poole, not who was Henry Poole, was lost in Sundance version. But in this version, with these amazing new things and this amazing face of Luke Wilson, seeing the audience, seeing me, I say, yes, Henry Poole is here. I'm really excited with this version of this. Como quedo
ahora.
It's really, really wonderful.
Yeah. The times that the characters are looking at the camera and looking at the audience are usually when they're looking at the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the two times when they break the wall, and not literally, are when the little girl looks at the lens after the tape recorder's played, and Luke at the end. Those are the times when it's meant to connect to the audience in a different way.
Yeah.
I wonder how.
I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you how the Academy Award nomination changed your life, your career.
Well, my life is 100% different. The main example is this table and this work, and I'm here. Yes, 2 years ago, I was in Mexico, or in Argentina too. But not only I have a different opportunities to work, the most important thing for me in this change is that I knew different people, that I knew different tipos de ser de las personas.
Different personalities,
yes.
Different people, different ways of being.
Realmente los viajes ilustran. Creo realmente que los viajes ilustran.
All the trips and all the travels and everything, they really teach you a lot.
Like an actress, this travel is not only outside, it's inside, and it's my principle, and I love this journey inside, my inside journey. Yes, the Oscar is not only for me, not only like a award, like a prize, like a medal, is like
accomplishment
for me, like a human being. It's really wonderful.
Did you have any sense when you were doing that movie that it would change your career? When you were making Babel?
No. When I work, for example, with Mark in Harry Potter, I am worried all the time. Oh my God! Please, that I want to do that. My director wants to the character and try to speak very well in English and try to do my work very well. And in the desert, I never think, oh my God, maybe I will be an Oscar in my hand. Yeah. No, I try to survive, Amelia. I try to survive this amazing character. Yes, I try to survive off all my characters. I never think in awards or something like that, because you never know.
That scene in the desert, man, having a nanny, being a single parent with a nanny and a kid, like that just, that's still, that was on, it's been on cable a lot lately. I watched that the other night.
So are you people of faith? I mean, do you believe, in God? Is that...
I born like a Catholic because my family was Catholic. Everybody is dead now. Yeah, my mother, my father, my everybody. But I lose my Catholic faith in my life, and I recover my faith in God, not like a Catholic. I really believe in God. I really believe in Virgin Mary, and for example, I really believe in angels. For example, when I lose my keys, really, oh, please, angel, where is my keys? And appear my keys. Well, really. And I pray and I talk with God, because I think if you have some belief in something, maybe you are not alone.
Mark, are you the same way? Are you a man of faith also?
It's funny you asked me before if I was spiritual, then you changed it to... I consider myself spiritual. I was raised Episcopal, believe in God, but have drawn on writings and lessons from other faiths to draw strength from and wisdom from. My sister is converted to Islam, you know, and found her experience extremely beneficial in my healing, and drew on anything I could get my hands on in my healing process, because it all feeds you, and it's all about love and strength, and not about, you know, dogma or politics or any of that. So, you know, whatever gets you through the day is kind of my, for any human being, whatever they choose is okay by me, because that's their choice and not for me to judge.
What kind of plans do you have for the DVD?
I did two commentaries. I wanted to do I did a commentary with Albert, because to talk about the themes and the kind of story, and you can talk on a different level about the film, say with the writer, and then I did another one with the DP where it was more about...
That was Eric Schmidt?
Yeah, Eric Schmidt, more about the form, so they were cool about doing those two DVDs, and then there's lots and lots and lots of deleted scenes. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we shot that didn't make it in the finished film that adds other levels of interest to fans of the movie. Nothing extraordinary.
Why Luke?
Why Luke? like the Brady Bunch episode with Johnny, because the suit fit. You know, I always, and a lot of actors flirted with this. We were briefly in pre-production for about a week with Jim Carrey.
Wow.
Years ago. And everybody from Ben Stiller to Kevin Bacon to Kevin Spacey to Matt Dillon to Kiefer Sutherland briefly was attached. Each, because they all were drawn to the character, and each version of that movie would have been different, but at never one point did I say, here's one way that it has to be. So when I met Luke, when we heard that Luke was interested, I had seen his other films, but it was one scene in particular in The Family Stone, this painful scene with him and Craig T. Nelson, where I saw something in that brief scene that I had never seen in the rest of his work. Between that scene and meeting him, and within 5 minutes of meeting him, there was three things. He had this inner life, and I think an inner pain, and kind of beautiful sadness that I felt had been untapped. To the ability to play the humor in the film, which came from an edgy, angry place. I knew that he would have the chops to do that. And that there was the romantic kind of leading man, vulnerable quality that he had, is very likable, and you knew that that would be. But more importantly, it was just literally looking in his eyes after he read the script, and just, you could tell that he wanted to wear that coat of the character. And it wasn't that he was the character or anything like that. You can tell there was something in him that needed to take that step up and carry a movie, and was actually brave enough, because I think a lot of the, some of the people that flirted with it before, I mean, you have to really expose yourself in this film and do a lot of different things. So I thought he was very brave, and I was really proud of him, and I think he did a really, really, really good job. And, you know, he's never carried a movie like this and had to show the range that he does.
You've been linked to a few different projects on the always accurate IMDb.
I'm never going to get attached to a project and have it put on there, because if more people say, what's up with that Nick Cage? I mean,
I want to just, instead of asking about what might be on there, what are you doing next? Or maybe, are you doing
I have nothing next? Locked in, but I'm really close on two things that are very different than this.
The Lincoln Lawyer?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's not on there. That's something Lakeshore is making.
Yeah.
I have a thriller, a metafictional psychological thriller called Dolly Dimple that I've been trying for many years to get made, that I think I'm really close to getting going. And then there's an assignment that I can't disclose that I'm going for that's thematically kind of, if you merge Mothman in this movie, it kind of like speaks to both of those.
Is it one of those like big studio kind of movies, or is it an indie kind of thing?
It's a studio movie. It's a big, small movie.
Okay.
Well, okay. And what about Adriana? Had you seen Babel and called her and said, this is, you've got to come and speak English for me, or what happened?
I mean, when Luke got even before that, It was pretty clear that she was going to be our first choice. And we met her. Tom Rosenberg, Gary, and I met her. She came in, and just with her smile and just joy lit up the room. And this was like, okay, a meeting. I'm like 10 minutes and she's talking about it, and she's sitting there, and and Rosenberg's looking at me kind of like, he's like, do you want to do the movie? And she's like, yeah. And she like, you know, it wasn't like, let's not pussyfoot around, let's go, do you want to do it? Because Tom's the kind of guy that would be like, you said yes in the room.
Yeah.
And I know, okay. And then what happened was, there was briefly a conflict of another movie she was supposed to do in Argentina that she was attached to. Mm-hmm. So for a few days, it was like, oh, she's not going to be able to do it. You know, and it's just like,
whatever God wills.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, that's where you can't get too, you know, you can't get too attached. It would have broken my heart. Yet at the same point, I would be like, it would be an opportunity for somebody else. But
when did you actually,
they worked it out.
Then?
Last July.
A year ago? July?
Yeah.
And it was under 30 days, I guess.
It was 30 days.
30 days of shooting.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned last night about your wife's death.
Yeah.
Could you talk about exactly what happened?
No.
Okay.
Not really. I mean, the production notes kind of, you know,
mention it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it was sudden complications from a ruptured colon. It was sudden and unexpected and preventable and fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was complicated.
Well, I was gonna switch subjects completely and ask you were involved with the TV show Cold Case.
Yeah, I did the pilot and then did stayed on and directed, was like kind of a consulting producer overseeing the look of the flashbacks in the first few years. And when I started back to work, it was like right over the hill from my house, and it was a good safe place to kind of like, you know, get back to work a little bit and to start directing but not have to do a movie. And it was, again, could be home with my daughter, and it was really good because it taught me to work fast and work with a lot of young actors and get performances out of them. And you know, you were doing dark crime stuff, and they were like a family.
And what do music videos still do for you?
I love them. They're just totally free. They're like cathartic, like Springsteen. I did Springsteen last November. Girls in Their Summer Clothes, The Fray. They're just really wonderful little pieces of, here's the song, go do it. You know, kind of stream of consciousness ideas and just like kind of whatever's in my head. We did a video for this song for a contest for MySpace, and it was the kid wrote a song based on just the trailer, but it was like how he got the movie with based on 2.5 minutes was amazing. So they said, we want to do a contest. I said, great, I'll do a video. So we made a great little video for him. And it was just, they're totally fun. They're a different headspace. They're not bound by narrative. They're kind of like little unconscious exercises.
Do you ever turn them down because you don't get an image of what you
all the time. Like, I got this Metallica song, and I had wanted to do something dark. It was just like this, I didn't see it. I listen to the song, it either comes out or it doesn't.
Okay.
I love them.
Oh, I was just going to, I know you got to go, but I just wanted to know if you think the art form has changed in the last 20, 30 years.
Of film?
No, of music videos. Or do you think it's still what?
It's not as viable in a commercial context, you know, once MTV stopped playing it. I love them. I think the form is as alive as ever. The opportunity to make them and the budgets that you get to work with them are shrinking. You know, especially as the size of the screens. Before the U2 3D film, I worked on this original The Species, a video, and we were having these conversations with Bono about, okay, basically making videos for screens like this, close-ups. You know what I mean? It's just literally the face. So I think, you know, in each medium, the screen size kind of dictates maybe what the merger of music and visuals would be, but I've never given up hope on them, but I don't know.
This movie's got a ton of headshots very close to people's face, and I wonder if that's dictated because people feel in a way that, you know, you're going to be watching it on your phone at some point.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I love the human face. If you look at my videos in the last 3 years, and it's a lot. I love the human face, just says more than a wide shot.
And in this movie, you've got one shot of a goldfish, a close-up, two of them, I think. How did that get in there? Well, I just thought, goldfish.
Look at the fish imagery. Look at Millie's world. There's a fish. There's a, look at her shirt of a whale. I mean, there's the lyrics when Henry touches the wall of the ocean. There's a invisible aquatic water theme going on emotionally that's kind of comes from yoga and holding emotions in your hips and wombs, and I mean, it's all kind of invisible design.
Okay.
Or not so invisible.
Thank you so much.